Listen, the spirit is calling. Rene Descartes wrote, "For the human mind has within it a sort of spark of the divine, in which the first seeds of useful ways of thinking are sown. Seeds which, however neglected and stifled by studies which impede them, often bear fruit of their own accord." A spark of the divine calls us. Creativity, or the desire for it, has been described as a longing for God. Though we may name it differently or not, surely this desire to create is a longing for spiritual connection and expression. A way to get out what is trapped inside and to break loose from those bonds that keep us from our true and full potential and keep us from connecting with others and all of life. It's a way to connect with the deepest part of ourselves, to form that intimacy with ourselves and a connection with others, the earth, and the cosmos. Elizabeth Gilbert, in her book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear, says that she believes in a decidedly unscientific way that the creative process is magic and magical. She says that among many other things, like plants and animals, bacteria and viruses, our planet is inhabited by ideas, and that ideas are a disembodied energetic life form. They're driven by a single impulse to be made manifest. And the only way ideas can be made manifest is in our world, is by collaboration with a human partner. It sounds sort of sci-fi to me, but so we're living our lives, right? And an idea floats by, or it floats in. And it's an impulse, a thought, a feeling, a tug, a pull, a calling. And we can say yes to it, we can say no to it, but if we don't pick up on it, Gilbert says, the idea moves on to someone else who can make it manifest. I love the post that our administrator, Gabby Patterson, included in the weekly email this week. It's a quote by Maya Angelou, "A bird doesn't sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song." Because it has a song. I think that we are not so different from the bird. We each have a song in us longing to express itself, longing to have it be heard. Always, when I think of creativity, I think of Sanabai Rujawa, who lived an imprisoned life for 15 years. She was not in an official prison. She lived in her home, a house built by her husband. He built the house in a somewhat remote area in India, and the house had no exterior windows. Sanabai could not see what was outside her house, nor could she see beyond it. No one for 15 years was allowed to visit. She did not see any of her parents nor her siblings. Sanabai was not allowed out. For 15 years, she spoke only to her husband and her son, who also lived there for 15 years. Inside of the house structure was a courtyard with open space to the sky and a well. Sanabai scraped the clay from the top and the sides of the well and merged it with straw and bamboo and used it for sculpture, to make toys for her son initially. And she made color by using herbs and spices and plants, and she fashioned paintbrushes by chewing the ends of twigs. Her work evolved into elaborate structures between the courtyard and the walkway closest to the rooms. There are corners where she placed beautifully curved lattice with figures in the center painted in colorful hues, animals and shapes of all sorts. You can find much more information about her with a simple Google search than I can ever tell you here, but she created an entirely new art form. I was fortunate enough to see some of her work at an exhibit 3 years after her death in San Diego. Sanabai had a song. Divine creativity called her, and she listened. For a while, UUCL member Pete Bybee spent hours each day commuting. He was on a train for 4 hours each day. Here's what he did, a bit of what he did with his commute. It's called On the Mark.
I was used to making music on my Mac, but when I got onto the Mark, it posed new challenges because I didn't have my keyboards or my drums with me. So I actually had to learn how to use just the keyboard here on the Mac to play the parts that I wanted to play. So Maddie did things like... That's the riff right there, which could lead you into... So what I wanted to represent with this project is a combination of my music as well as the pictures that I had taken, the artwork that I've done during my commute. And what I'm really expressing is what it's like just to go through the process every day, this long commute that I have. And I wanted to share that with you all, as well as the others out there, you know, in the area around the world that go through the same thing every day, just through their journeys of getting to work and getting back home. And
So in addition to the music part, there's also a photo book. A lot of the photos that you see in this video will be inside of that photo book. Outside, the AC is working for now. The train is crowded, but not overflowing. Everyone has seats, and the tracks are not too hot. We have made it through one of the hotter days without having to step aside to land track or stop due to no power. Tensions are high, but on the side of the fence, you want back to be. Only a few more stops.
Thank you.
The book and the video will be up here. I mean, the book and the CD will be up here if you want to come take a look at it after the service. Yes, really. Amazing. It is amazing. I don't know, maybe 2 hours on a train twice a day is a prison of sorts. And he made good use of his time. Something pulls and tugs us and calls us to create. Henry Nelson Wyman was an American philosopher and theologian. He became a Unitarian. Wyman wrote that the greatest good for all people could be achieved if the many individual interests could be creatively organized so as to function as a single interest. The creative interest, he says, is to expand our consciousness and understanding. Bob German, I don't know how Bob put this video together and how he did what he did. He calls it energy transfer. Thank you for sharing it, Bob. Here it is. Amazing, right? The creative interest, says Henry Nelson Wyman, is to expand our consciousness and understanding. To Wyman, the growth of meaning and value and good in the world is creative transformation. And that creative transformation, the creative process, is God. He says there's no distinction between God and creativity, that the creative process, the creative event, is God. So let's just take a moment to absorb what that means. Letting go of anything we thought and much of what we may have rejected about God. Letting go of any resistance even to the word, and reimagining what that word means. Imagine that every time we hear the word God, we know it as creative process. The creative process. Our creative process. See? We like it. It makes us giggle. M.C. Richards writes that all the arts we practice are apprenticeship. The big art is our life. Let go. Let go of what you thought about what or who God was. Let go. See yourself as that divine spark, that divine creativity, the creative process itself. See your life as creative process. Yesterday, Bob said about his video and his process for that video, and I'm paraphrasing, that it comes together and falls apart and comes together again. And this video came together in a beautiful, fascinating, interesting, amazing way. Miles Davis says, sometimes it takes a long time to sound like yourself. We have to find our song. We have a song. You don't have to know how to use a paintbrush or put words into poetry to be an artist. Creativity is something we do with our very living. We're all composing pieces of art with our relationships, with our activism, with our parenting and our jobs, making a meal, putting flowers in a vase, making tea, planting a garden, working on a home project, showing up for people we love. And yet we don't often think of our daily living that way. It is, though. As Adrian Rich says, we perversely, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world. Here's the thing, though. There are no creators without companions. We do not do this alone. We do not live this creative process alone. We are co-creators in and of this creative process. It maybe sounds soft and easy and lovely and, oh, if we just love each other, right? But creation and creating can be messy and uncomfortable. And here's another thing. To deny this creative process is to deny existence. It betrays the gift of life. We don't want to do that. Part of being here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Loudoun together is to support each other in our individual processes and to figure out what that looks like collectively. How is it that we nurture each other? How is it that we help each other heal? How is it that we kindle the flame of love and justice? I invite you all to spend some time looking at this individual art here up close. It's everywhere. You may not notice, but it is. Just look. And to come and look at the mandala before we destroy it. And then also come on May 20th to help envision what our collective creative process looks like. We have one as individuals in our lives, but we have one together as well. Thank you to all of you who are willing to display your tangible and visible and beautiful process. And it's not too late for those of you who would like to add something for the rest of the month. And thank you, all of you, for being part of the creative process here today in this space and for creating beauty in this world. As we prepare to sing our closing hymn, I invite you to offer up some gratitude for the natural beauty of this world and the beauty that is created in this world and the beauty and the creative process that is your life.